What really happened unto her? What went down in the van? Allegedly, beers with bears. Beers with bears. Beers with bears. Beers with bears.
You just had a show the other day too, right?
Yeah, we had a show in Amityville, New York on Thursday.
How did that go?
It actually went really well. I was kind of nervous because I was feeling kind of underprepared with all the new songs we've been putting out, but I was kind of like worried I was gonna like forget lyrics or something, but like it went well, so.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. I feel like that's always like a good spot that I hear of, Amityville. I have some friends that have played there multiple times, and a few people that have been on the podcast have played there quite a bit, so it always sounds like a sick spot to like check out next time I'm there. So
yeah, it's like a go-to spot on Long Island, I think. It's like there, and then there's like New York City, and then anywhere in Jersey, so I feel like all of the Long Island venues are in Amityville for some reason.
Yeah.
At least from what I've heard. I don't live there, but
because you're more like New Jersey-ish, right?
Yeah, I'm in Central Jersey, so okay. It was a little bit of a drive. It was supposed to take like 2 hours, I think, 1.5, 2 hours, but we had so much traffic it took like 3 hours to get there. So
that's always rough.
It was a little bit of a trek, but
yeah. I just wanna get off this shit. Up everyone, welcome back to another episode of Beers with Bands. This week I'm sitting down with Kelly from Wave Break. How's it going?
Going well. How about you?
I'm doing good, doing good. It's a fine Monday. Thankfully the work day is over, so now it's just the fun part where you get to drink beer and just talk about people's bands. So
yeah. Always the best part of the day.
Yeah, exactly. For people that might not be aware, Wave Break is basically your now solo project. And Wave Break is basically like a pop punk alternative rock band based out of Central Jersey. Which we're going to be talking about your new record here pretty soon. We're going to talk about the old record because I jammed a lot of that. That's also sick. We got a lot of stuff on the docket. But I always like to start out kind of like for people that might not know the backstory of your band, kind of start at like the beginning. How did Wave Break form and then get to where you are now with this iteration of it?
So starting from the way beginning. So that was probably 2016. It was probably when like the first bits of Wave Break started, or when I started thinking about it. So like late 2015, I had put out like a solo EP before Wave Break under my own name. And that kind of didn't go as well as I was hoping, because the production, I guess, wasn't what people were expecting. So it was kind of raw, and I feel like people weren't really feeling that. So I realized that I needed to like rebrand and change my direction a bit. So after that, I was thinking to like change my solo name and keep being solo, but rebrand to like more of a pop punky kind of alt rock thing, kind of what I'm doing now. Cause before I was a little bit more singer songwriter-ish.
Okay.
And so I was starting to move more towards that. But then eventually I started thinking more like I wanted to be in a band, because it's kind of hard to like at a live show environment to like showcase your music the right way if you're doing a pop punk alt rock project, but you or solo, like if you're playing acoustic, like you can't really like showcase it properly. So I was starting to think I wanted to be in a band because I wanted to have like drums behind me and a lead guitarist and a bassist and everything. So I had joined a local band that I had found like in a Facebook group that seemed like they had similar influences to me, like Jimmy Eat World, that kind of stuff, like emo kind of pop punk bands. And I went to practices with them for like 2 months. And I was writing a lot of lyrics for like a potential EP because they had like a whole bunch of instrumentals written and I was writing a whole bunch of lyrics to it. And I don't know what happened with them, but after about 2 months, like they got really shady and they kind of like kicked me out for some reason and never told me. So they never told me why. So it was really weird because they like told me that they couldn't make it work like financially or something. And then the band was done or whatever. So I went to pick up all my stuff from the practice space. And then like a few months later or some amount of time, when I was with Wavebreak, I went into the studio and the producer knew them. And he was like, oh, did you know that these guys got a new vocalist? And I was like, what? They told me they were done. They weren't going to do it. So, and then on Instagram, they had like a new like male vocalist on there. So like, I don't know what was going on. I feel like it was definitely like a sexism thing. Like they didn't want a girl in the band because they were very like bro-y kind of guys. Oh, so that happened. So then I was like, cool. So now, at that point I was already in Wavebreak, but when I was kicked out of the band, I was like, cool. Now I don't have a band. I kind of want to be in a band though. So what do I do? So then I started posting on Craigslist, trying to find, bandmates. And I eventually found the first lineup for Wavebreak. And so that went well. So we recorded the EP, the first EP Armory, and, started playing a few shows. And then a little bit of time passes, a few shows pass by, and then a couple of the bandmates, I guess, decided that they didn't want to keep doing it. They just didn't want to be in a serious band. So I ended up having to eventually replace them. And this was before the EP came out. So I was kind of like having fill-ins for them and everything until the EP dropped. And then I announced that the lineup changes after the EP. So, and then, I eventually found another new lineup after that, after the EP dropped. And then that lasted for like maybe 6 months, had like the same issue. Like a couple of people decided they didn't want to do like the serious band thing anymore. A couple other people had conflicts with another band they were in. So so here I am now solo, having recorded my next EP, which is now technically a solo EP, and just riding with it and seeing what happens.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Well, props to you for not letting that initial, those bros kick you out of the band to like deter you from like not continuing with music. Cause I know a lot of people would take that as like a sign of like, what do I do next? Kind of like little midlife crisis, but thankfully you kept it going. Cause I mean, the Armory EP sounds great, and then this new new stuff that you're putting out sounds amazing as well. So fuck those dudes, who I don't know who they are, but like that's some shitty stuff.
Yeah, and fun fact, one of their favorite musicians is also one of my favorite musicians, and that favorite musician is going to be a featured vocalist on one of the songs on my EP coming up. So they messed up.
Right. I mean, we were going to get into that later, but that's a perfect, like, just, like, yep, in your face type of deal. So I dig it. Love it. Now, so you joined Wavebreak, was Wavebreak already a thing when you joined it, or did it kind of form and then you guys came up with the name Wavebreak?
Wavebreak initially formed, and then we figured out Wavebreak. Like, we were tossing around a lot of like random words and phrases trying to figure out what our band name was going to be, And it took like a long time, like several weeks, because every time we would come up with something good, I would Google it to see if, or look at it on Facebook to see if it was already taken, and it was already taken. So, and then when we came to Wavebreak, it was the only one that was hardly being used. There was like one like really DIY band from like Michigan or something using it on Facebook, but they weren't anywhere other than Facebook. So it was like, all right, cool, I'm just gonna take it. And then we went with it. So
yeah, that's always a tough thing, like trying to come up with a band name, especially nowadays when there's so many bands out there, just trying to find something that no one else has.
It's like impossible.
Yeah, because I know I had friends back home, they were in a band, and they were like, oh, we're going to use like this generic like tagline basically as our band name. They did it, and they ended up getting like a cease and desist from another band that wasn't even doing anything anymore. They just didn't want to give up the name.
Mm-hmm.
And completely different genres of music. It was insane. Like, but yeah, so...
It's crazy. It's like impossible to pick up something that hasn't already been used unless you use something that's like really like out there that nobody would ever think of.
Right.
But
so how'd you guys come up with the name Wavebreak then?
Honestly, it goes back to just throwing around random words and phrases. I think at one point one of the other people in the band mentioned naming it like As Waves Break or something like that, and I was like, why don't we shorten it to just Wave Break, you know? So that's kind of how that went. We were kind of just like throwing around a whole lot of like random phrases and like tweaking things and seeing what worked and what was taken and what wasn't, and then we eventually landed on Wave Break.
Okay.
So.
And then obviously in that iteration of Wave Break, you do the Armory EP, which for people that haven't listened to it, definitely go jam it. It's still, I mean, it's really good jams. It's very, compared to like what you're putting out now, it's very more pop punk, I would say. It's a lot on the lighter side. And then you put that out, then everything kind of shifts. So do you take it in this kind of new direction where Puzzle Pieces, obviously the name of the new record is more, I want to say like angstier, more almost punk rock, but still like pop punk and alternative rock. Did that kind of lead like your decision factor to go this other route? If that makes sense at all.
Wait, sorry. Can you rephrase that?
Yeah, sorry. I ramble and I think of things at the same time and it just comes out. So Armory was more like pop punk, it felt like. And obviously that could have come from everyone in the band chipping in at that time, but as you started losing those members, did it become more of what led to the more angstier side of this release, I guess?
I think I see what you're saying. Yeah. So I would say the new direction is kind of mostly a progression of where I wanted to take it, because Armory, it pretty much came out the way I wanted it to come out. Like, it was a very, I really wanted to go for that, like, alt-rock kind of flavored pop punk initially. And then I think the guitarist I had at the time and the rest of the band, like, really fit that sound. So they really contributed to the sound that I wanted to go for, because I had a couple of the songs written already at the time that I was looking for those bandmates. And then now that I don't have bandmates, it's basically definitely where I wanted to take the band. Like, I wanted to take it in a more alt rock kind of side of things, because I definitely wanted to do stuff that wasn't like quite as predictable pop punk on this one. I wanted to like be a little bit more like creative with it and just kind of do whatever I wanted instead of worrying about whether or not it was pop punk or not. And then also the mental state that I was in a much darker mental state than I was on Armory, that kind of contributed to the darker like alt rock kind of sound.
Okay. Yeah, I pick up some of those vibes listening through the EP a few different times. Like, it definitely, I mean, one, like I mentioned, it is a completely different step from Armory, and you can definitely see and hear those darker tones throughout it. So I mean, for everyone that's used to Armory, mm-hmm. and I mean, switching to this, it's going to be a little bit of a different flavor, but it's still very good and well done. Obviously, obviously, leading up to this, you've put out, I know today you just announced that the next single is coming out in a couple weeks. So as of right now, I believe there's 3 or 4 singles out.
Already. Yeah, there's 3 other singles out, and then this is going to be the 4th one.
Gotcha. Like, what's the response been on the ones that are out so far?
It's actually been a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I was kind of worried that people weren't going to respond as well to the more alt-rock kind of sound. But it seems like people are enjoying it, so I'm excited about it. It's been going well.
I mean, they all sound great, and then you have music videos to go along with them as well, which add that whole extra element. I do like the I'm trying to remember which one it was. Well, because I watched them all today, and they all like watching them this morning and trying to remember back, they're all blending together. But obviously there was the tug of war, but was it, oh no, it's Chemical Burn that kind of does the whole little Breaking Bad making the blue meth. When you guys started initially like making that, I was very confused as to what you were actually doing, because you were just putting random stuff in, and then you put in like Malibu rum, and I was like, okay, like what's going on? So.
Yeah, so basically what we were doing with that, we were definitely going for a Breaking Bad kind of thing. But like on Breaking Bad, they don't tell you like how to make meth. Like they mention a few of the ingredients, but that's about it. Like, and like they don't tell you how to do it. And I'm also not gonna just Google how to make meth in a video, because I don't want the cops to come up at my door because of that. So we were like, all right, let's just put random stuff in the pot and just do it. So that's pretty much how that happened.
It's pretty great. I dig it. with this new single, which is gonna be Stop the Car, is there going to be a music video attached to that one as well?
Yeah, that one's going to have a music video too.
Okay. Since obviously it's not out yet, what kind of insight can you give to that music video?
This one is more of a performance-based kind of video than the other ones. There's a little bit of like an extra touch to it that kind of takes the Stop the Car theme literally, with me kind of like in the back seat of a car, like singing along, and then eventually I get out of the car when it stops. So it kind of takes it literally, but it's definitely a more like performance based video otherwise, with like cool lighting and stuff. So we kind of just went all out with like LED lighting and stuff on it, which was really fun.
Okay, tight. I'm stoked to check it out when it fully comes out. I believe that one comes out on the 8th. So I'm stoked to check it out. And it, from the sounding of it, because one of my questions was going to ask you, what's going to be your favorite song? What is your favorite song on this release? And it sounds like, just based off of what you've been posting today, that Stop the Car is your main song off the, that you really enjoy off this new release. Just the song in general, like what makes this one so much more special than the rest of them?
I think it's mainly just the feel to the song, and it's a very like energetic song. It's the most like upbeat feeling on the whole EP, but it's also like very like, it's also like very emotional and very personal to me. 'Cause I wrote it like at a time, oddly enough, it was right before COVID, but I wrote the song like at a time in my life where like everything was going wrong, and I just kind of felt like I just needed a break, and I, you know, needed to write about it. And I kind of felt stuck in life in a way because of it. And then oddly enough, things got even worse with COVID right after I wrote it. But yeah, it's just a very like, it's a song that I wrote when I was kind of like at my lowest with everything that was going on in my life. So yeah, it's just a very like personal song, but it's also very fun.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's a great song. It starts off the whole album. like it really sets the tone, I feel like, for the album as to where it's going to go. One thing we kind of hinted at earlier, talking about previous shitty bandmates, just how they're going to be referred to from now on. But there is a feature on this album that is, one, it's a great feature to have, and two, it's done very well, where you balance each other out so well on that entire song. And then who I'm talking about is Mark Rose from Spitalfield for the song Unanchored, that's going to be on your album. What was it like working with Mark, and like how did that connection come about?
So Mark and I had met Mark a couple times before. I actually first heard about his music and Spitalfield when I was in college, junior year, because I was in this club called Songwriters Club, and we would book shows on campus. And at one point, him and Shane Henderson came on tour for like an acoustic thing, and they played a date at our college. So that's kind of when I first heard of him. And then I kind of like fell in love with Spitalfield's music. And then once or twice I saw him perform some of his solo stuff and acoustic Spitalfield stuff on tour a couple times after that. I kind of just hit him up over email and was like, would you be down to do this this feature? And he was down, which was really cool because he's definitely one of my favorite musicians. I love the stuff he's doing solo and with Spitalfield. Once he sent me his takes, it was just really surreal to hear one of my favorite musicians singing something that I wrote. I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. I can't wait to put this on the track. So yeah, it was just a really cool experience.
Was there anything that
it's like a full circle moment?
Right. Was there anything that you like either asked him to do or not asked him to do, but like that he did extra for you on the like the feature that you just weren't expecting it to happen at all?
Yeah, so I definitely mentioned to him sing the first part of the second verse and the main lead line on the bridge, and then I was kind of like, if you hear anything else on the song, like ad libs or harmonies or anything, definitely lay it down. It was kind of like open-ended. And then what he ended up doing was he sent me a harmony line for the second half of the second verse, which was really cool. And I think definitely kind of gave it a very cool vibe, kind of similar to like some of the Spitalfield stuff that he was doing, which was really cool, which I really loved. So that definitely fit really well. And then we ended up adding it to the outro too, because it fit like perfectly in there. So definitely gave it a nice touch, which I was very happy about.
Yeah, I mean that whole song is amazing, and just the way it balances between you and him in the entire song, like it's probably between that song and Hypocrite, like those are like my two top favorites off the whole album, and that like they're battling hard because of that feature. So
nice. That's definitely an interesting choice. I wasn't expecting really anybody to choose Hypocrite. It was kind of like an underdog in the album, I feel like, but definitely I'm definitely glad to hear that you like it.
Yeah, there's some riffs towards the beginning that just like really get me locked into it, and it just sounds amazing. So
thank you.
Yeah,
really appreciate it.
And as we kind of mentioned before the episode started, you did finally have your first show back after, I think I saw like a year and a half of, obviously no one played last year because 2020 sucked. And it sounds like it went very well. I'm stoked that you're able to finally go out and do some more shows. Do you have anything else planned for the remainder of the year, or are you going to kind of just hold off and see what happens?
For now, because of the lineup thing, I don't have too much booked. There's one other show that's booked for before the end of the year in New York City, but I'm not going to say anything yet because we'll leave social media to announce that.
Fair enough. And,
but yeah, there's one more coming before the end of the the year as of now, and then after that, I'm kind of starting to gear towards like thinking of like planning a few shows around the EP release. Maybe like in New York City, something in New Jersey and like the general area, maybe Boston. So we'll see, but that probably won't be until like after the new year, to give me time to like prepare for that. But, but yeah, so there's definitely more coming. It's just only one show is really planned and the rest of it's kind of still up in the air, but definitely more will be coming.
Okay. Well, for everyone listening, be sure to, keep an eye out and go see Kelly and Wavebreak the first chance you get, because it's going to be amazing playing these new songs. So if I could be there, I totally would. So you should be there, since I can't be there, is what I'm saying to everyone.
Thank you. You'll be there in spirit.
Yeah, exactly. So before we fully transition to like the later half of this episode, obviously this episode is out after the release of the new album, Puzzle Pieces. Everyone go jam it. If you haven't jammed it already, please go jam it. We talked about kind of the formation of the band, playing some shows, this new album. Is there anything I missed that I should have brought up or added to my notes about this release or Wavebreak or you in general?
Honestly, I think you really covered everything. The only other thing would be something that I think would be cool to talk about is the recording process for this EP. Because it's definitely different to how Armory was, because with Armory, I had like three or four of the songs written, and then I went into the studio and started like recording them song by song, and then like as I was recording the other songs, I would finish the other songs and then bring those into the studio and do those like also song by song. But then with Puzzle Pieces, I wrote all of the songs first, and then I demoed all of them together, and then took all of them into the studio together and recorded them instrument by instrument, which was definitely a different experience. which is like more like a traditional kind of way to do it. But it was really fun because it was more of like a see it, like it was easier to like see it like from start to finish doing it that way, and instead of like seeing like one song come together and then seeing another song come together. But I was seeing all the songs come together at the same time this time. And then as a result, like all the songs ended up coming out like really cohesive sounding, versus on Armory, you can kind of like hear little differences in like the mixes because of it. It wasn't like as cohesive, but this one's definitely like a lot more cohesive in terms of the mixes because of that. So that was definitely a cool experience, I think.
I mean, speaking of recording, and obviously this album is an 8-song album, were there any songs that just had to hit the cutting room floor and didn't make the cut for this that we might see sometime in the future?
Actually, well, there are like little bits and pieces of lyrics and song titles and stuff that I was working with that I'm still working with for the next one. But in terms of like finished songs that I like finished writing from start to finish, I'm actually a pretty slow writer. So like I'm not the kind of writer who will like write a song like quickly and then decide to scrap it or not. I'm the kind of person that if I'm writing something and I don't like it, instead of scrapping it, I'll keep working at it and changing it until I like it. So because of that, for a lot of songs, it takes a long time for me to finish. It might take like, I might come back to it various times over like a 2-month span or something like that, and then it'll be done. But yeah, I'm a very slow writer, and because of that, actually all of the songs that I ended up actually finishing are on this EP.
Okay.
So that's everything I ended up actually finishing.
Oh, nice. Well, I mean, like, taking the time to tweak it rather than just, like, throw it, I feel that adds, like, a whole nother depth to a song, because, I mean, there's a bunch of people that can just come up with like hooks and all that stuff really easy, but if you're taking the time to be like, okay, this part works, this doesn't, and just like reforming it to something else and to make it more to what you want, it makes it more, I don't know, it makes it more of your own, as much as like you, it's already your own. I mean, you wrote it to begin with, but like, yeah, it adds that whole other element if people are understanding what I'm getting at.
Yeah, like, I'm not, like, the kind of person to, like, write something and kind of just, like, throw things at a wall and see what sticks. I will analyze what I've written and be like, okay, I like this, but I don't like what it does here, so let's change that. And then I'll, like, break apart, like, lyrics of a chorus and rearrange them, try different vocal melody lines and stuff like that. So, like, I'll literally, like dissect everything and piece it together until I like it.
Out of the songs that are on the album, what one was the most difficult to like piece together to get it to its final endpoint?
Probably Chemical Burn, actually. Yeah. Chemical Burn was the easiest one like to demo and to like actually like arrange once I had like the actual skeleton of the song, like the lyrics and the chord progressions and everything done, because that part came naturally. But I was really struggling with trying to figure out like what melody lines I wanted in the verses and stuff like that. Like, I was messing around with a lot of different stuff, and I got rid of certain lyrics, I added lyrics, and like was messing around with the verses there. And yeah, that was pretty much the most frustrating part of the whole thing, I think.
And then like how you mentioned that you went in and like kind of recorded each song instrument by instrument, are you playing, like, I don't, how many instruments do you play? Like, are you playing all of those, or are you having someone else come in and like do the drum parts, or like what was that part of the process like?
So I did all of the rhythm guitar and obviously all the vocals too. I had my producer help me with the lead guitar, bass, and drums. But yeah, in terms of the album, that's how that went down. In terms of instruments that I do play, I actually just recently picked up bass. So for the next EP, if I don't have a bassist, I might actually be playing bass on that one. We'll see. But
nice.
So slowly but surely getting more and more proficient in the other instruments so that hopefully one day I can do everything myself.
Yeah. I mean, hey, they don't call it a one woman band for nothing, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. One woman band for me, it means like I'm the only person in the band right now. But like, if years down the line, I'm still the only person in the band, then hopefully I'll be to a point where like I'm also playing all the instruments on the recording. So then it'll actually be more of like a one woman band.
Yeah. Well, stoked that you're learning bass. That's something that was always on my list. I don't play guitar anyways, but like it was always something to do on my list and I just never got around to it. So props for adding that to it. Sorry, what?
Yeah, no. Bass is so much fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I've learned a few Green Day bass lines. I forget which songs though. I think Burnout was one of them. And I recently learned an Audioslave bass line too, which was really cool. I don't know if you know any of their songs. I don't really know many of their songs, but my boyfriend had me check one of their songs out called Show Me How to Live. I was jamming with that bass line quite a bit recently.
Okay. No, yeah, that's awesome. It's always nice to meet people that like care enough to like learn something else and just keep growing on that aspect. But we're going to transition here. We talked about all the albums and stuff. Before we get to these stories, this is Beers with Bands. You don't have to be drinking a beer. That's totally fine. But what are you drinking tonight, Kelly?
I'm actually drinking one of the only things we have in our fridge. It's not really a beer, but it's a Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. It's okay. I usually go for nice. Like a White Claw or something, but we didn't have any of that today. So we're rocking this today.
Yeah. I've had a few of the Bud Light Seltzers, for episode 50, we did like a kind of like a seltzer battle. So we had some Claws, some Bud Light ones, the Corona ones. The Bud Light ones fared okay. They weren't too bad. So
yeah, they're definitely not the best. I definitely prefer White Claw, but it's good. It passes.
Yeah, it'll do the job. It does its thing.
Yeah.
For people listening, I do have a PBR on deck, but I started out this episode with an Elm Creek Brewing Downstream Divination. It's a Hefeweizen. I think I said that right. I don't know. Shout out to Jack from Wanderer for leaving this at my house, so I could use it for this episode.
Hell yeah. Love to try that.
Yeah. His family owns like the brewery, and it's actually not that bad. It's a 5.4%. I'm not usually big on like craft brews, but I'm down with it.
It's really not my thing, but like I'm down to try it, you know. So some of them can be really good. So
yeah,
that sounds like it's really good.
Are there like a
stuff? Yeah,
I know like craft brews are like popping up everywhere. Like, are there like a lot around where you live?
Not too much that I know of, because truth be told, I'm not really that into like craft beers, to be honest. I mean, like, I'll try it, but like it's not really something I seek out, if you know what I mean. So like mm-hmm. I know there's like a couple places in like Asbury Park, I think. Like, there's this place called there's actually a venue in Asbury called the Asbury Park Brewery that has its own beers. They probably have their own craft beer. But there are like a few like local breweries like around there that probably have their own. I just haven't really sought them out. So like, I can't speak to like how good they are or not.
Right. No, like, totally understand. I'm the same way. I'm so comfortable with like my PBRs, and I'll just, it's already here. It's already in the fridge. It's already cold. Like, you know,
yeah exactly. Like, the stuff that I do like gravitate towards, I tend to gravitate towards like sweet stuff. So like anything like seltzer like this, or like a Mike's Hard, or like a sweet wine or something like that. It's like anything that's sweet, I usually gravitate towards. I'll even go towards like a Bud Light Lime or something like that. So like, even like on like the beer side of things, like if it's sweet, that's something I'll definitely go towards. So craft beers are definitely tend to be a lot darker, which is part of why I don't tend to seek those out as much, but like, I'll definitely try it. So
right. Yeah. Always need good to try something new. I know it's been almost 2 years now since I went to San Diego, and out there it's like where my friends live, it's just nothing but like breweries everywhere. So it's just a lot of like, get a water and just get like a flight of stuff just to try it, and then just kind of go about your day. But definitely take some getting used to.
Yeah, exactly.
But now we're in the later half of these episodes, which is my favorite part of the episodes, because everyone that I talk to has always been doing music, been going to shows, been on tours sometimes. And this is where we kind of just talk about the fun or crazy stories from shows or show experiences or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been doing Waybreak since about like 2018, a little bit before. I don't know what you have up your sleeve for crazy stories or anything like that, but I'd love to hear whatever you have.
Yeah, so Waybreak went on the road like 2 or 3 times for like short like weekenders and stuff like that. So I definitely don't have quite as much as like a more seasoned touring musician would, but like there were like a few times where there was like some like drama on the road or something, where like at a show, like some member from one of the other bands, like in a way like disrespected like someone who was in my band or something, and then like some shit went down or something like that. I don't remember exactly what happened, but something happened at one of our Boston shows in 2019. Yeah, it's just weird like drama stuff like that. But the funniest thing that I can probably talk about it was one time at another show in 2019, when we played in Boston. On the way back, This was a really long drive because the van we were using was really old. It was like a 1990 Chevy. Like, it's a van that's older than me. So something was going on with the van that made us have to drive like half as fast as we otherwise should have been. So it took us like 8 hours to get home when it should have only taken us like 4 hours to get home. So it was a really long drive. We had to stop like several times to like take a look at the bottom of the van to like get it to start working again, and hopefully we could drive it a little bit faster. But like, I think it was like there was like really strong wind or something, and then it was like rocking the van back and forth or something like that. But there was something wrong with the van. And then I remember before we left, we went to get bagels for breakfast, and then we started driving back, and then I ate most of my bagel, and then I kind of like put it to the side for later because I was kind of full and I just wanted to have it for later, like later in the trip. And then like 5 or 6 hours later, when we only had like 1 or 2 hours left in the trip, I wanted to eat the rest of my bagel. So I looked and I didn't see it anywhere. I was like, my bagel disappeared. Like, where the hell did it go? Like, it was literally here. Like, it couldn't have gotten very far. So then we finally get home at like maybe 10 o'clock at night. I forget what time it was, but it was pretty late. And I get out of I get out of the van, and as soon as like I get out of my seat and look back into like where I was sitting, I see that I was actually sitting on my bagel the whole time. Like, my bagel was completely flattened, and I was like, that's where it went. It was such a long trip that like I just completely didn't even realize I was sitting on my bagel and it was there the whole time.
Oh man. Yeah, that's on tour, like, it's always the worst when you have something that you're trying to set aside to eat and you just lose it. Because no matter what kind of van you're in or what you're riding in, if you're on tour, it turns into a black hole and you won't find it for like 3 days.
It's crazy. Oh yeah, like your whatever van you're in, like, it's gonna be filled to the brim with stuff. Like, you're gonna have like whatever seat you're sitting in, you're gonna have like, I don't know, like maybe a laptop with you if you're using it for like band stuff. And then you'll have like random stuff like your wallet, like an extra pair of shoes, a sweater, like food and snacks, like random stuff like all over like your general vicinity. So then like something small like that, like a little piece of a bagel, it's so easy to lose.
Yeah.
Like it.
I do want to give this tip out to anyone that's listening. I got this from, I think his name was John from Forever Kim Calling, their bass player. He mainly did this because his feet are so big that his shoes wouldn't fit anywhere else. But I did it because I had a lot of shoes that I would bring on tour. But basically, you just take your shoes and you shove them underneath the driver's seat in the van. Mm-hmm. And then, bam, you have your own like shoe closet. It works perfect.
Oh, nice. I'm going to have to try that next time I'm on the road. Make sure to, like, as a way to, like, keep track of, like, my extra pairs of shoes. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. It works great because, like, granted, I drove the van, like, half the time anyway, so I would just get out and then just, like, switch shoes from, like, my driving shoes. Because you just wear, like, shitty Vans while you drive. It doesn't really matter, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you need, like, your comfy, like van shoes. Both in the sense of the brand and being in a van. and then also like show shoes, like your big like Doc Martin stuff. You have like, usually you'll have like at least like two pairs of shoes. So like you definitely like should have like a spot at least to like keep your comfy van shoes somewhere. So that's a good idea actually.
Right, because otherwise the rest of them are all like in your tote, either in the trailer or in the back of the van. So these are just easy access, ready to go, depending on where you stop. So works perfect. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So then when you stop somewhere, like on like a 7-Eleven run or something, they're just right there, easy for you to grab.
Yeah. When Waybreak went out, was it just like a few of you that went out, or was it just the four of you and then just like a merch person, or how many people were usually in the van?
So when we went in the past, it was just the four of us. It was me and my drummer, guitarist, and bassist at the time. And also we would have a photographer with us. So it would be five of us. Five of us shoved in a van with all of our stuff.
Oof. It's always so rough, like, thinking of bands that just, like, just are piled on top of each other in the sense, and with all their gear. Like, it's props to anyone that can do that. Thankfully, we never had to, but I commend everyone that has had to do that.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine what it's like for some other bands who go on longer runs and, like, they can't, like, pay for, like, a hotel room or an Airbnb every night, because it gets expensive really fast. And luckily, the runs that I've done in the past were short enough where we didn't have to worry about not having, like, a hotel room or an Airbnb any night. So we kind of just went for it and booked one of those, or if we were in a city where we knew someone, we kind of just stayed with them. So we always had a place to stay for the night. But, like, if we're when the day comes when we're on a longer run and we have to, like, sleep in the van, that's gonna be rough.
Yeah. The last run that I was a part of, it was the band that I was tour managing, Exit Emergency. We were out running with our friends in Stars Hollow, and we shared a drummer, thankfully, but it was still, like, nine of us in this van. Thankfully, all of our gear was in the trailer, but, like, yeah, there was a couple times where we didn't have place to stay because we were on, like, a long drive, so I woke up at a rest stop in the back bench area since I was driving in the morning, and just all of our whole crew was either people sleeping in the van, people went out, slept on rest stop benches, there was feet hanging off the roof because someone slept on the roof. It's, oh, like, just finding any comfortable space that you can find is all you can do.
We're going to have to figure that out when that day comes. We're going to have to figure out a system, like seats that, like, convert into, like, beds or something. I don't know. But, like,
yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing, but, like, we're going to have to figure something like that out.
Well, what we did originally in the van was, in the back, we had a 15-seater van, so we took out the back two rows of seats. This was when originally it was just the band and me running, so it would only be, like, five to six people. But we took out the back two seats, built, like, a bunk loft area. So on the top, you could put, like, another mattress or whatever. And then the bottom was, like, a full, like, sleeping area. But that's always something to consider. I know a lot of bands build, like, those bunks to kind of hold their gear in one spot and then just sleep on top of it. So,
yeah, that's probably a good idea. Yeah, I'll have to figure out a way to make that work. Because in my head, I'm thinking, like, but if you have, like, the bunk, like, in the back of the van, but the back of the van is also where all of our, like, equipment goes. So, how do we make that work? I guess we'd have to get, like, a trailer or something so that we can reserve that space for sleeping or something, and then just keep all the equipment in the trailer.
Yeah, or you just basically try and, like, re-Tetris your gear underneath, like, in the empty space. That way you can sleep on top of it. It's always, like, a tricky thing trying to figure out, like, what you're gonna do, so...
Yeah, and then I'm probably also going to have to, like, conserve space by, like, getting, like, a combo amp to bring with me instead of, like, my big, like, 2x12 cab. Like, that's going to take a lot of space. So I'm going to have to, like, figure out ways, like, to downsize my gear in order to save space so we can do that, too.
Man. So as we kind of wind down here, I want to give one more thank you to another thank you. I thanked you earlier. I thank a lot of people all the time. I forget how many thank yous I do throughout an episode, but thank you to Kelly for taking the time out of your Monday to sit down and talk with me about your band. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. Before I end these episodes, I usually ask everyone, this is kind of like a two-part or one, depending on what you want to answer, but what's been, like, your favorite moment so far since the beginning of Waybreak, or what is something that you're looking forward to in the coming future because of this band?
My favorite moment so far,
I think would probably be like getting to do the little touring that I've done so far, like we were just talking about, because getting to like drive city to city and play music is just a lot of fun, and I want to do it more. So I'm definitely looking forward to, once I have a more like stable bandmate situation, to be able to do that more. but yeah, going towards the future, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to getting to do that more and playing bigger shows and putting out more music, because I definitely have a lot of goals that I still want to reach. Like I have certain venues I want to play, certain cities I want to play in, and stuff like that. So like I'm definitely looking forward to trying to cross off as much as of that as I can in the future. So yeah, it's, I'm guessing going forward we'll just see how much I can actually accomplish. We'll see.
Well, I hope for your sake you're able to check a lot of those boxes off of your list. Play all the venues that you can, get out there, get on the road. Because everything sounds great, and I'm really stoked for what you're doing, and stoked for everyone else to finally hear what's all going to be on this album, because it all sounds really great. So,
thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
If anyone is looking for merch, music, or you in general, where can they find it?
They can find that on wavebreakband.com. That's pretty much where all of our stuff is. You can find music, a link to merch, and pretty much everything there is about Wavebreak on that site. So,
well, you heard it there. Go check out wavebreakband.com. Get some merch. Listen to the new album. Puzzle Pieces already out now, so go jam it for sure. And be sure to keep an eye out for that December show. The socials will guide you the way, and I'll be sure to retweet, repost, whatever needs to be done to help out with that. But thank you so much to Kelly for stopping by. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
This was fun.
As I normally say, if you or anyone you know should be on an episode of Beers with Bands, feel free to let me know. I'm always down to spend my days talking about other people's bands over a few beers. So that ends it for this one, and I'll catch everyone on the next episode. See ya. Oh, sure.